We're looking again today at Luke chapter 3 as we continue to study about the life and especially the preaching of John the Baptist. This is one of the great men of the Bible, and we want to look at what he said and what he taught because many of the things that he taught these Jews apply to us today. And there are several basic fundamental doctrines that pertain to salvation that we want to examine and that we want to pay particular attention to in Luke chapter 3. Now, we found in Luke chapter 3, verse 3, that John the Baptist came preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And we're going to talk a little bit today about the meaning of repentance, what it is, what it is not. And we're going to let John the Baptist unfold, actually, the application of what he means and what he says about repentance. Now, when we ask the question, what is repentance? The basic answer is this. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart, that results in a change of life. So, it's not just expressing sorrow. It's not just feeling sorry over sin. It's not just being sad and crying tears because one has sinned. Now, obviously, one ought to be sad. He ought to be sorry that he has sinned against God. That is part of it. The Bible says that godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 and 10 tells us that there is a difference between the sorrow of the world and godly sorrow. Now, the sorrow of the world simply means that a person is sorry that he's gotten caught, or he's sorry that he's been embarrassed because people have found out that he has sinned, or he is sorrowful because he's paying the price for his sins. He's suffering because he has sinned. He's experiencing the consequences of his sinful behavior. Oftentimes, people shed tears over those kinds of things, but that's different from godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is where a person actually cries or feels sorrow in his heart because he has sinned against God. Not because he's having it rough since he has sinned, but because he has sinned against God and he's expressing that sorrow in that way. Now that kind of sorrow, because a person's conscience is bothering him and he realizes that he has offended God, leads him to change his mind. To change his mind about his behavior. And so repentance is not just sorrow. Sorrow precedes the repentance, but repentance is not just feeling sad because there are people that feel sad over their sins in the ways that I talked about, but they don't change their minds. They go right back to sinning. They go right back to the same sins that got them in that situation. That is not repentance. It's sorrow, but it's not repentance. Repentance means that a person changes his mind. He makes a decision. He doesn't just feel sorry. He doesn't just feel sad. He makes up his mind to do better, to change his behavior, to stop sinning, and to turn toward God and to obey Him. Now, this is what John the Baptist is talking about in Luke chapter 3. I want you to notice down in Luke chapter 3, verse 8, that after the Bible says he preached the baptism of repentance, after he told the people to repent because the kingdom of heaven was near, here's what he said in Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. Now, what are the fruits of repentance? Well, a fruit is the result or the product of something. And so, fruits of repentance would mean this, that a person has truly repented, he's changed his mind, he's changed his heart, and there are results. There are results that people see. There are changes in that person's life. That's what he means by the fruits that are worthy, in other words, fitting of repentance. If a person has truly repented, if a person is truly penitent in the sight of God, there will be changes. Now, that's what he's talking about in verse 8 when he says to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And we're going to get back to that when we get down to verse 10. But I want to talk about something else here in verse 8 that is very important and that is oftentimes misunderstood. The people who gathered around John the Baptist, the people who heard his preaching and who came to his baptism, were Jews. Now, some of those Jews, and especially the Jewish leaders, prided themselves in the fact that they were descendants of Abraham. That Abraham was their ancestor was something that they talked about and had a great deal of pride in. They oftentimes prided themselves in the fact that they were the chosen nation of God. Well, they were. God chose them from among other nations. And God made great promises to the people of Israel. He gave them the promised land. He gave them the Old Testament scriptures. And he promised that the Messiah would come through their nation. All those and many other promises were given to the Israelite people. And so they had a special relationship with God. That does not mean that the Gentiles, the other nations besides the Jews, didn't have any chance before God to be saved, because we know that there were Gentiles, people who were not Jews, who were saved. But the Jews did have certain advantages. They had benefits that other people didn't have. So oftentimes what happened was this. These Jews would think that they were saved in the sight of God just because they were Israelites in the flesh. Just because they were Jews. Just because they were born into that bloodline, some of them thought that that alone made them right in the sight of God. And so John the Baptist quickly tells them, don't think that. Don't think that just because you are descendants of Abraham, that that alone makes you right in God's sight, because it does not. He says to them, do not begin to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. That is indeed what they oftentimes, as we said, would say to people. As a matter of fact, there was a time when they said that to Jesus. They were arguing with Jesus. They were making accusations against him. And Jesus, after he told them that they could be made free, that is, free from sin, these Jews became upset. They were angry. They said to him in John 8, verse 39, Abraham is our father. Now you can see again what they're claiming there. We are right in the sight of God. We are saved just because we are the descendants of that man. John the Baptist said, don't think that, because it is not true. Don't think to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. That is, if God wanted to do that, he could. He has the power to do that. So if God wanted other children, he was able to do what he's talking about right here. Now, John the Baptist is not saying that God is going to do that. He's simply saying if God wanted to, he has the power to do it. Now, what does this tell you about the Jews in John the Baptist's day? What does this tell you about the Jews in the New Testament? It tells you that just being a Jew, as far as nationality was concerned, did not make a person right in the sight of God. Some of these people thought that it did, but John the Baptist shows that it did not. And furthermore, this means even less today, because the Jews are no longer the chosen people of God. That's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 21, verse 43. He said, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you, you Jews, you Israelites." Again, that's Matthew 21, verse 43. So today, a Jew has even less a right to say that he's saved in the sight of God just because of his ancestry. And other people who are not Jews certainly have no basis for saying, well, they're Jews, so they're going to be automatically saved. The Bible does not say that. The Bible does not teach that. Here's what the Bible says. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, then it doesn't make any difference if you're Jew or Gentile. And if you're outside of Christ, it doesn't make any difference if you're a Jew or a Gentile. The destiny, the fate, is going to be the same, and that's eternal damnation in hell. So in Luke chapter 3, verse 8, John the Baptist is rebuking these prideful Jewish leaders because of their attitude toward other people and their attitude toward themselves as being Jews. Now let's go on down to verse 10. Luke chapter 3 and verse 10, and we find something very interesting here, and that is that after John the Baptist preached to these people saying to repent, these people wanted to know what that involved. After he said, you need to repent and you need to bring forth the fruits worthy of repentance, they wanted him to explain the details about that. So the people in general come to him in verse 10, and they say, what shall we do then? What are we supposed to do? And he answered and said unto them, he that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. And he that has meat, that is, he that has food, let him do likewise. In other words, you need to share. You need to share with people that don't have enough food and enough clothes. Give to your fellow man. The first thing that John the Baptist told these people that they needed to do, if they're really going to live right in the sight of God, is to help people who are in need. Share what you have. And as a matter of fact, you'll notice in all three of these cases that we're going to look at more tomorrow, that in each case where the people ask him what to do, every time he said something that involved their attitude toward money and toward material things. If a man is going to be right in God's sight, that's a big part of it, folks, and that's a big part of what we find in John the Baptist preaching. But I want you to notice something else here that we're going to stress tomorrow as well. In Luke chapter 3, verse 10, the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? In verse 12, the Bible says, then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Now they already know they have to be baptized. Verse 12 says they came to be baptized, but they wanted to know what to do other than being baptized. After they were baptized. This is very important. And then in verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? Now, in light of what we're reading right here, folks, how can anybody read these verses and walk away saying, well, what you do has nothing to do with your salvation. What you do is not important. It's just what you feel in your heart. That's not what we read here, is it? Look at it again. Luke chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. And tomorrow, Lord willing, we're going to come back and we're going to examine this passage and talk about some of these issues on the broadcast. Thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.